And they were very difficult days for me. When David was 2.5 years old, my father, who I was closer to than my mother, passed on. And my heart was almost broken because my father, who had given me some support, had gone. My father hadn't worked for years because of a heart problem, and we didn't have any money. When my mother was left a widow, she still wouldn't let me go to work. She said, "He's your child, and you brought the disgrace on the family. You stay home and you look after him." But the only money we had was a small bit of Social Security for me, which wasn't much, and a widow's pension for my mother. And this was very, very difficult. She also wouldn't allow me to go out dancing or out with friends or anything. And I was like a prisoner in my own home. This was very difficult. But one night, a cousin asked me to go to a dance with her. And I knew that my mother wouldn't hear tell of me going to a dance. So she said that her mother would look after David. And I took my clothes down to her house and got changed down there and went to the dance. And it was great to get out after 2.5 years being at home. And I met a young man at the dance. And he told me he was a Royal Marine. And he was going away the next day for 2 years to serve in Malta. And he asked me if I would write to him. So I said, okay, and we began to write to each other. Now, after he had finished his 2 years in the Marines, he came home, and we went out together. And I have to tell you that I fell madly in love with this handsome Marine, and I thought that he was an answer to my prayer. And there was nothing in life I wanted except to be married. I wanted to be married so much. I wanted to have a home for my little boy and a home for myself. He was stationed in England then, and he would come home every 3 months. And when he would come home, he would have plenty of money saved out and saved up, and he would take me out and we would go out and have a nice time. He was also very nice to my little boy. And I thought this was wonderful and an answer to my prayer. At the end of that 2 years, that was 4 years altogether, we'd known each other, but we never really got to know each other all that well, because when he came home on leave, we would go out and out with David and so forth, but I never met his family or knew anything about him. Finally, he asked me to marry him, and that was at Christmas time, and he said we could get married at Easter. I was thrilled over the moon, and my mother was very pleased that I was getting married, and my sister and my brothers were, everybody was thrilled that at last I was going to be a respectable woman. And we got married at Easter, but I should have had warning signs, because he never sent me any money towards the wedding, and I had very little money. I had to buy my own wedding ring. And my sister had a party for us after the wedding. Well, about 3 days before the wedding, I had a letter from a young woman who lived in England. She said, "This is going to be a shock to you, but your husband-to-be has been living with me for the past 18 months. She said, "I'm married, separated from my husband, and I have 4 children. She said, "And I love him very much." Well, my head was in a turmoil. I just didn't know what to do. By this time, I'd just become interested in Christian Science. And there was a teacher of Christian Science who sort of took me under her wing. And I talked to her a lot. And this teacher bought me my wedding dress. She was so pleased. And I couldn't bring myself to tell her or to tell my mother to face another disaster in our family. I just couldn't do it. And I got a telegram from my husband. And he said in this telegram, "Sorry, now you know. What do we do now?" And I sent him, I really prayed that night in the only way I knew how to pray then. It was more a pleading with God, because I wasn't an experienced student of Christian Science. And the thought came to me, well, he forgave me for having this little boy, and shouldn't I forgive him? It was a bit naive looking back on the sort of thinking that I was thinking, but that was where I was at the time. So I sent him back a telegram and said, we'll go ahead. Now, on the day of the wedding, it was on a Saturday, it was an Easter Saturday, and he came home that morning on the boat, and I didn't meet him until we walked down the aisle. So we didn't discuss this, we didn't talk about it or anything. And we got married and went to my sister's house for a party. He and his brother and his brother-in-law went to see his father, who was ill. And they didn't come home, or he didn't come home, till about 3 o'clock in the morning. We were not having a honeymoon. We couldn't afford a honeymoon. And we were just staying in my mother's house, because I had David to look after as well. And my husband came home at 3 o'clock in the morning, and he was drunk. And I said to him, how could you do this on our wedding day? How could you leave me so long? And he hit me. And he said, you don't ask me any questions. We're married now and I'm your husband, but you don't ask me any questions. He gave me quite a black eye. And my mother saw it the next day and wanted to know where I got it. And I told her that I fell on the floor. This was the start of a very messy marriage. But I still went on loving this man. There was a side to him that was very gentle and nice, and another side that was very vicious and brutal. And it was hard for me to discern between the two. And I still felt that I was a terrible sinner. And my husband was stationed in England, and I went over there to live with him. The girl he told me that he had lived with had had an abortion. But she came to see me one day, and she told me she still was in love with my husband. And my husband came home early from work, and I think that he must have spoken to this girl and they'd arranged for them both to meet in my home. He said that he loved us both, and he wanted to live with us both, and would it be okay if I would go and live in her house? And I said, no way. No way, I said, I will go home and face the music before I'll do that. So the next thing I found, I was expecting a baby. And I didn't know how I could go home again with another baby. Where would I go? To my mother's. And then my husband got sent to Malta for 2 years. And I thought that that was a really good thing, because he would be away from this girl and maybe we could start our life together. And we went out to Malta. And about 2 nights before my daughter Linda was born, it was very humid and hot. And I had put David to bed. David by this time was about 5. And I had put him to bed, and I said to my husband, I think I'd go for a walk along the beach to cool down. And he said, okay. And I was away for about an hour. I met another Marine's wife, and we sat and chatted and talked. And when I came back, the apartment was all in darkness, and it was only about 9 o'clock. And I went in and said to my husband, what are you doing in bed? He said he had a headache, and I said, well, I'll make you a cup of tea. And he said, you better go in and look at David. And I went in and couldn't believe my eyes. There was blood everywhere, all over the walls. The child was unconscious. His teeth were through his lips. And I came in and said, why on earth did you do that? He said, because he walked down the back of his shoe. And he said, there's no way that I'm going to buy shoes for this. Not a nice name. So I had to get an army officer, a medical officer, to come out to see David. And David was taken into the hospital with concussion. And the officer asked me who did this, and I told him it was my husband. So he said he was going to put him on a charge. The next day I was sent for by the commanding officer, and he said to me, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go home. He said, well, you can't go home. He said, it's too near the time for your baby and you can't go home. So he said, you'll have to stay here till the baby's born. And I said, well, who's going to look after David? I couldn't leave him with him. And he said, well, you'll have to leave him with him, but I will put him on a charge that if he touches that child, he's in bad trouble. So he got into a lot of trouble with the Marines. I went into the hospital and my daughter was born very harmoniously. And he seemed very happy about a child of our own. And things went along a bit better. But then he was transferred to Singapore. We did 2 years in Malta. We went to Singapore and I was expecting another child. And one night, my husband and I were at the movies. And we came out of the movies and we got up at the bus stop to get off. And there was a shortcut through a jungle. And my husband wanted to take this shortcut through the jungle. And I said to him, no, I'm not going into a jungle late at night. I don't want to do that. And he pulled me into this jungle and gave me a very bad beating. And he left me unconscious. And we had a Nama, a servant, who was looking after the children. And she said to him, where is Missy? And he said, she's in the jungle. She fell down. You go and pick her up. So I got my face and everything healed up, and we came home. And we came home, my mother passed on. And on the day that she passed on, he didn't want me to go to the hospital to see her. And I said, well, I have to go. The doctor has sent for us, and I have to go. So I went to the hospital, and I was too late. My mother had passed on. And when I came home, he gave me another beating. And I had to go to my mother's funeral with a big black eye. And finally, I told this teacher of Christian Science the whole story, because I hadn't told her about the way I was being treated or what happened to the girl before the marriage. And she said, I wish you had told me all this. She said, I would have told you not to marry this man. And I said, but I really believe that God sent him to me, that he was an answer to my prayer, and that I was going to be the best wife in the world, because I wanted to be married so much, and I felt that I was an awful sinner. And she told me to read the 91st Psalm and to read it every day. And I began reading this psalm, and it was my protection and my children's protection. I went on to have two more children to him. The last one was stillborn. And things were really, really difficult. But this prayer was a great comfort to me. And it was a comfort to my children, especially David, whom he couldn't stand.